Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, Game Source. Once again, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week. Of course, the great folks at LakersBall.com. Be part of one of the great topics that they're always covering at LakersBall.com, including Ox 1947 himself, always a part of the scene there at LakersBall.com. Of course, the great things that you can catch at LakerHolics.com. Be part of the conversation there today. At LakerHolics.com, you can see all the great trade proposals that Laker Tom has devised. You can see the comments that our good friend Jamie Sweet, who is not here today, he's performing live right now at the Mar Vista Open Stage Revival on Venice. So when he's not doing that and he's not appearing on the show, he's writing for LakerHolics.com. Plus our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And if you can catch all of that, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, the Lakers are almost ready to make that sigh of relief because the Golden State Warriors are up 3-2 as they head into Game 6 of the NBA Finals. We'll talk about that on the back end of the show, if it's going to be of great comfort, a great sigh of relief for Lakers fans out there, but we'll see what happens. The series is not over quite just yet. But there's some interesting news because there's always some type of news that pops up every week in Lakersland. And the latest news is not actually that great because the fact is it's not the news you really want to hear. That Anthony Davis, in a recent interview, stated that he had not touched a basketball or shot a basketball, I should say, since April 5th. Now, he recently, this week, to his credit, got back into the gym and started shooting once again. But that's a clear 2+ months of not touching a basketball for a guy who did not exactly have the greatest season last season. I know it's been a hot topic of debate on First Take, with J.J. Redick taking one side as the NBA player and Stephen A. Smith seeing the numbers right there, or lack thereof, that he produced last year, taking the other. So I thought I'd bring the guys on today to talk about it. Plus LeBron James hot in the rumor mill about something that, if it was me, if it was Laker Tom, if it was Joe Soro, if we were any of us advising LeBron James, we would tell him the same thing as well. So it goes into the no-brainer category, but we'll talk about that rumor coming up in a bit here as well. It is Joe Soro, first off, from LakersBall.com. And Joe, we're going to talk about AD first. AD, of the sparkling 18% three-point shooting last year, did not touch a basketball for over 2 months. Do you find this a problem, or do you find this of any concern? Or, you know, with these off-season, the way that these players navigate their way through the off-season each and every year, is this just okay now that Anthony Davis is back in the gym training for next season?
When you're in the results business, the only thing that matters is the regular season and playoffs. What you do in your personal time and your preparation, it makes no difference to me. However, it's bad optics.
Yeah.
You had your worst shooting. I'm assuming he's had his worst shooting season this last year. I think he shot 18% from three. his patented, I don't know, 15, 18 footer that would normally go in was not going in.
Yep.
Usually when you get older, you rely on that shot more and you should be better at it. It's your athleticism that runs out at some point. So it's almost like Anthony Davis is kind of Benjamin Buttoning this, where he's reverting backwards when he should be losing ability as you get older and getting better at the fundamentals. And to me, when that happens, there's a focus problem. There is a want problem. Does he want to be great, really great, not just good, really good? And we have beat the living bejesus out of the word great, icon, the best, GOAT. We have absolutely taken those words and flushed it down the toilet. They don't mean anything anymore. A guy can have a great month and he's the GOAT now. A guy can do something for even through 2 or 3 years and he's the greatest player that ever played. And they're comparing him to this. I remember there was this like a 2-year window, and it was right after Gilbert Arenas scored 60 at Staples against Kobe and the Lakers. And they were talking about how he might be one of the greatest scorers of all time. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God. People, come on. So it's not something that just started now. It's always been there. And the one positive thing about AD kind of setting the stage for the sports commentators is they're finally stopped talking about the greatest this and the greatest that. It actually got them away from that overused, overplayed, no talent subject, because it was starting to veer into, is Steph Curry on the same level as LeBron if he wins the title? They can't just say, is Curry going to win his fourth title? And can we talk about him winning his first finals MVP? Something different a little bit, not just the same old thing where, okay, if this guy wins, is he going to be the greatest? It's all they ever talk about. But with AD, I you can sense it in his personality. He's a very, very bright person. He knows who he is. He knows what he wants. I admire that part about him. That's why I like him a lot. But as of right now, if I had to sit down with him and tell him something, I would tell him, you look like you are satisfied. Are you satisfied? Because if I'm the general manager of the Lakers or the owner, and he says, and it'd be one of those things where I need a legit answer. Like, you got to explain to me. If it's no, you got to convince me. And it's not likely going to be convinced. I'm not going to be convinced in this meeting. It's got to be like during the year. And then if you lie, I'm going to know this coming year. I'll give you a buffer for this year. Injuries kind of derailed you, fine. But as of right now, I'm seeing things that don't connect. Do you care? Are you over it? Are you satisfied? If you are, then I'm going to be honest with you. This is something that Jerry West said. He said it during the memorial for Kobe, but I've heard it in the past, not through his own mouth, but you know, Jerry West never lies to, he never lied to his, a player that was with him or a player he was going after. Yeah. And that's one of the things that he says was a staple and why he's successful, is when you don't lie to people, you tend not to get yourself in trouble. So if you tell me the truth that you're satisfied, I will tell you at that point, we are going to start looking into other options. Well, because if you don't give a crap, this is the LA Lakers.
Yeah.
This is not the Charlotte Hornets. This is not Memphis Grizzlies. We're not going to just be happy because we have Anthony Davis in his prime and LeBron. We win titles here, baby. If we don't win titles, we're working to win titles. So if you're not satisfied, then okay, we're gonna find that out this year. If you are satisfied, I got to figure out another option. We already know what LeBron's going to do. LeBron is going to likely weigh his options here until August. If he sees a change in the summer, and I'm sure he's talking about this with his wife in secret, you know, hey, if they trade Russell Westbrook and they bring in something where it's like, huh, we might be a title contender, he'll sign the extension. But if Russell Westbrook isn't gone off this team and there's not really any big improvements by August, I don't see him signing the extension. And it's likely LeBron plays his last season in L.A. in 22-23.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
If you have a better movie in the can, why is that not the movie that you released in the first place?
I would say it's more culturally relevant than The Simpsons and Rick and Morty. Like, it has become a staple of American entertainment.
I think Dragon Age 4 is carrying the future of BioWare on its shoulders.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. I have kind of a little issue with it, but, you know, this is the off season, so it depends. Now that he's back in the gym, how hard is he going to work? How hard does he want it?
I'm over it. You know, at some point, I read something literally 10 minutes before we aired. It's about successful people. And I'm not into the rah-rah cliche crap, but I just happened to scroll and there was a list of what makes someone successful. The first one was letting things go, not being so entrenched in your mind, someone screwing you over or something that's just, you know, bogging you down, and you just let it go. I'm at the point now with LeBron and AD where I'm going to let this play out because I'm not going to stress over it. It's from a sports standpoint, of course, not in my life, because if he don't give a crap, why should I? Why? Why am I going to bother myself at this point? If you don't give a crap, I'm not. So, and then we just got to wait it out. We got to wait it out and see how it plays out. And if Anthony Davis is shooting 18% from 3-point come December, we know that he does not give a crap. And he's not really serious about continuing to be trying to be what we all believed was he could have been in Tim Duncan level, maybe not 5 championships, but in terms of impact, he has that kind of talent. Actually, more. He has more physical talent than a Tim Duncan. But Tim Duncan had this. He doesn't have that, at least a notch below Tim. You can't expect people to be like Tim Duncan. It's not fair. But at least close. Try to get close to that. And if he had that mentality, I think he would have been much more successful in New Orleans too. That was kind of his thing. So we're at a crossroads, as they say, and we get the benefit as podcast analysts of the Lakers to have more dialogue and more entertaining assumptions and analysts and analyzing and all that stuff. So I'm looking at it from that in a positive standpoint. We have something to talk about.
That we do indeed. Always something to talk about here in Lakers land. But also here today to talk about possibly this being a concern. Maybe it's not. Again, it all depends. I agree with Joe. If he's 18% in 3-point range come the end of the year, that's going to be an issue. And a lot of people are going to point to those comments that he made earlier this week in regards to that. But we'll see what happens. We'll give it a chance. We'll see if AD can go ahead and become the player that we know he can be. But also here today, talk about what's going on with the Lakers, AD, LeBron, hopefully a win for the Golden State Warriors to keep the Celtics at number 17. Good man indeed. Please go ahead and check out his great articles today at Lakerholics.com. It is Laker Tom, and Laker Tom, a couple of names have been taken off your list of potential trade targets, with both Jamichael Green being traded to Oklahoma City and also Christian Wood in a deal, which I think that Dallas really got a good deal on in regards to the first round pick for this year and 4 expiring trade contracts going back in the deal, none of which are really good rotational players at this point in time. But your thoughts centering back in on AD and his comments that he did not go ahead and touch a basketball for over 2 months.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There was such an uproar on Twitter that I think less than 24 hours had passed, and AD somehow had already had a session, a training session with lethal shooter Chris Matthews, who's a respected trainer that KCP and other
controversial
players.
I heard as well.
Yeah, so it was it's the power of Twitter, man, that that AD came back. And actually, you know, when you get down to it, you have to, it's really a smart move. And the thing with Anthony Davis is that not only in the bubble, but also during that championship year, he shot the ball better than he ever has before. He was shooting in the mid 80s for free throws. And this was a guy who'd been traditionally a 70, low 70s free throw shooter. And he was shooting 85%.
Remember that game against New Orleans? I think he went 24 for 25 or something. Yeah, I know. He's
got a shot there.
He didn't miss a free throw in the finals until the last game. No,
let me finish.
Yeah, sorry.
What Matthews is going to do is he's going to look at film from that year, and he's going to compare the mechanics that AD has had during that year with his current mechanics.
Yeah.
And so I think that that is just really a real important move, because that's the kind of help that he needs with his shooting, because he's not a guy who can't make those shots. Even though he wasn't a prolific three-point shooter early in his career, he was deadly from two. So, you know, I'm very positive about that. And, you know, AD, yeah, you screwed up by making that comment that you didn't take those shots, you know, but you made up for it by going out and getting a hold of Chris Matthews. And I think I expect good things from him. As far as the comments about whether or not that is indicative or what is the problem with AD, well, he obviously didn't come back. And the thing you have to remember about both of the last 2 years, not only for AD, but for LeBron, is that they were all injury spoiled. And there's nothing that anybody who's been an athlete, whether it was high school or college, when you get injured, man, it just throws that whole year off. You know, you lose a year coming back, and you lose confidence, you lose rotation, you lose minutes, you lose rhythm. And that was really the problem that AD had in both of those seasons. Now, there are two kinds of guys who come off a championship. There's a guy who comes off a championship and says, boy, I really like that, and I'm going to do it again, and I'll do whatever I have to do that. And there's a guy who comes off of it, and he's pretty happy and proud of himself, you know, and maybe he slacks off a little bit. I don't think we can make a judgment as to whether that was what happened to Anthony, because he did have that short turnaround, you know, after playing in the finals, and boom, then, you know, it was only a year and 7 months ago that they won the championship. So I can't assume that or attribute to him a lack of desire. But what I do have a feeling for very strongly is a couple of things. One, LeBron's support for AD, which he's come out very strongly for, and also Darvin Hand basically saying that everything's going to come depend this whole year is going to come down to AD. He's the guy who's going to have to carry this team this year. And that brings me to the whole Stephen A. Smith thing. I'm not a SAS fan, but he made that interesting comment that if healthy, he would take Anthony Davis over Nikola Jokic. It was just an amazing list of people, superstars that you would need. The idea that all of a sudden here's somebody who would come out and say, hey, wait a minute, because if you count both sides of the ball and you look at the game that he has, he's a player who basically can impact the game like no other player can in the league. And that's what people thought of him at the end of the bubble. That's what everybody thought and expected. And we've been expecting that for every year. We've been expecting it since we got him, that he would eventually eclipse LeBron, that him in his prime had to be better than LeBron at 37. Now, LeBron has had something to say about that, but injuries really have clouded that picture. So then you come to the question about what does that mean for the Lakers? The trades. Christian Wood was a big player that I've always coveted for the Lakers, but I didn't really expect the Lakers to pursue him simply because his defense is pretty suspect at this point in time. And he has had some attitude problems, and I don't think that that's a good fit for Darvin Ham rotation to put a player like that in there. And it's interesting because the Lakers did make an offer for him at the trade deadline and almost had a deal. They wanted a pick, basically. They offered Nunn and THC for Wood, and the Rockets said, include a pick, and you got him. The Lakers obviously didn't want to spend that pick, you know, and there's this misconception going around that the Lakers are hanging on to those picks. They're not hanging on to any picks. They won't. They might not trade those picks or give up those picks as sweeteners in a deal for Russell Westbrook, but they're not gonna exercise those picks in 2027 and 2029. They'll be traded well before then. They'll trade them for players. That's the whole purpose. Is you don't want to trade them for West to get rid of Westbrook. You want to trade them to bring a good player to the team. And you know, Christian Wood would have been a player who they could have used a pick to do that. Now whether a 2027 pick, we probably would have had to make it unprotected to make it compete with a number 26 pick or 27 pick this year. But, you know, obviously Houston is doing the right thing because they're going to get a great player in the number 3 pick. They've got some great young talent.
But four expiring contracts come off.
So they didn't want to take it. They didn't want to take back any contracts. They didn't want to, you know, they did that smart. It was basically a trade of a draft pick. You know, they traded a guy who averaged 20 points and 12 rebounds for a number 26 draft pick. That was a steal.
Well, you got that
math, but the math, one of the math problems has been their defense. I don't know. You know, Christian, he can provide some rim protection because they have none of that. And he's a pretty good rim protector, but he's very light and he doesn't weigh 200 pounds, I don't think.
But I think on the wing,
he does play ferociously, though. He can throw down dunks with the best of them.
And he can't shoot from the outside.
And he shoots from outside. So, interesting news. I like the news about AD because I really feel like his shooting problem, he may not shoot that well. That might have been an outlier. But I definitely think having a shooting coach and looking at the mechanics back then versus now is a simple pathway for curing his shooting problems and really getting him back to where he at least hits those mid-range comfortably.
Well, one of his big cheerleaders for him just spoke out earlier today in LeBron James saying, watch out for Anthony this upcoming season. He's not concerned at all about what was said by Anthony Davis. He's glad he's in the gym working out. He's glad he's in the gym working on his shot. And that is none other than LeBron James, who has been sort of, you know, part of the conversation as well in regards to what he will do in a long-term commitment for the Los Angeles Lakers, because he has that on the table in early August. And Joe, I want to ask you this. The rumors are abound because, again, with not much to do right now outside of seeing how the offseason habits are for Anthony Davis, there's not much more to talk about other than what the Lakers might do for a second rounder. Oh, yeah, and LeBron signing an extension. The rumors are abound that he is not committing to signing a contract extension with LA at this time. He's going to wait and see what happens. That's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, it's a smart move. Why would you, if your only aspiration at this point is to continue to win championships, and if you feel like this next year there's not going to be anything beyond that, you know, you gotta figure out another option. We're gonna know this summer. I know for sure if Russell Westbrook is back, they're not going to win a title next year. How they're going to better the team, no idea. There would have to be something close to a miracle for it to happen at this
point. Joe, do you think you brought up a subject that I thought was really fascinating. Do you think that there is any linkage between if the Lakers don't trade Russell Westbrook, that LeBron may not sign the extension, that could be a reason for him not to sign the extension? I mean, that's an interesting linkage because nobody's talking about it in that way.
No. And you're...
That's attributing something to LeBron that would be very detrimental to Russ.
LeBron, I don't think that would ever come out. I don't think that would ever come out. I think he would keep that close to the chest. But it's common sense.
Yeah.
When you look at it from LeBron's career, LeBron has done everything except reach number six, which is what will be the only chance he really, really can have an argument of being the greatest ever.
He's not going to throw Russ under the bus, but
no,
in his true heart, he has to be hoping that Pelinka can pull off a trade. And
I equate it to, Kobe Bryant never said anything negative about Kwame Brown, even when he was elated in New Jersey that first game where he messed up his finger. He scored 6 points in that game. And I had not seen Kobe smile like that. I don't even remember him smile like that when he three-peated. He was so happy Pau Gasol was there. Even when that happened, Kobe never said anything negative to Kwame about Kwame Brown. And we all knew Kwame Brown was – he kept that team from really, really being anything that would matter, right? So
Russell Stone.
Yes, Hunter,
there's a parallel between Kwame Brown and Russell Westbrook, man.
It is. And here's the crazy thing.
Think about that.
I know. That's why I wanted to bring it up. And it's good that we watch the games because, just like a playbook, when you know the playbook in and out, you remember things and you're able to correlate it with other things that are going on, right? So I had said for years that Kwame Brown was the worst Laker player. Now, talent-wise, he probably wasn't, right?
No.
But in terms of impact and the ability to go to the next level, Kwame Brown, until...
There was no next level.
Until this last year, I had not ever seen a player sabotage a team as bad as Russell Westbrook had.
Those two guys are definitely on the Mount Rushmore of the Lakers' worst players.
Yes, and I remember Samaki Walker in 2002. We were wanting to hang ourselves more than a few times with his decision making, but that ended with a title, and it wasn't.
Who else do we put on the Mount Rushmore of?
I would say in my time, the first four that come to mind: Westbrook, Kwame, Samaki Walker, and Smush Parker.
Oh, Smush has got to be on there.
Yeah,
Smush would be unanimous.
It's got to be four guys.
I hate to put Walker on there. I mean, because he's not in the class of the other three.
No, and
there must be somebody else. I mean, those three are pretty dramatic.
Okay, well, some have said Luke Walton, but see, Luke Walton...
Luke was a good Laker.
Samaki wasn't bad. It was bad at that time.
There was never the expectations on Walton. Let's put it that way. As a second-round pick, there was never the expectations on Walton.
No, he overachieved. He was the...
Yeah.
He was, he was the white role player that
he was. Him and Kobe were the only reason why they wanted a game in that 04 finals.
Well, you also thought he was going to be a starter the way he played in the playoffs that year.
It's because his body broke down.
His rookie year, he showed a savvy, which he always had, and a smarts as a player that you don't see. But
his body didn't let him.
I got to hold off on Samaki. I don't want to dump that guy into the same broth as the other three guys. I mean, between Smush, Kwame, and Russ, I mean, that is a total destructive crew. Imagine the three of them playing in the 3-on-3 league.
There's no one else that in terms of frustration.
There may not be anybody else that falls into the category of those three guys.
We have a Mount Rushmore with only three guys then at that point.
Yeah. Well, we'll save a spot. We'll save a spot for the next major.
It's a smart
move. I could nominate DeAndre Jordan for that spot though.
There you go.
The
minutes that he ate up for us.
Yeah, but he was only on a minimum contract.
If I was better at Photoshop, I'd put together the photo and write an article tonight.
There you go. All right. But your thoughts still, again, on LeBron. I don't think that there's a problem there. I think this is something that's a non-news story. It's just clickbait. I think that with LeBron, I would wait too. If I was advising LeBron, well, I would wait
league,
for him.
The league basically makes it a rule that it's tampering. They cannot, the league nor the player can discuss an extension until the extension is eligible.
Yeah.
That's been published and put out there. And so this is suppositions. The truth of the matter is that the Lakers aren't going, and LeBron aren't going to publicize if they've talked about it. But I think back about the big hullabaloo we had when LeBron was praising every general manager, but Rob Pelinka, and dropping hints that he was going to join this team or that team. And Clutch, and there was a sort of like a big clash between Clutch and the Lakers as an organization. And a lot of discussion, you know, on the blog and in the media about the value of the Clutch relationship, you know. I think the outcome of that, based upon the fact of the comments that Jeannie Buss made, that doesn't matter whether LeBron signs the extension or not, we're going forward in the same manner. He is our superstar. We expect that he's going to re-sign. We expect that he's going to retire a Laker. And LeBron James came back with saying, I am happy with Los Angeles. I don't intend to move anywhere else. Yeah, I might be tempted by to play with my son Bronny at some point down the road, but, you know, I'm a Laker, period. I think that that's where we're going to end up. I think that the Lakers, first off, aren't going to be as dumb as the Cleveland Cavaliers did and take on a five-year contract from somebody that's worth only 1 year. They're not going to do something stupid like that. They're going to slit their own throats. I think that they're going to use those draft picks for players, probably rather than dumping Russ. And frankly, I think personally that as long as LeBron and AD are still going to be here, we will never have the cap space to bring in a free agent superstar. So as long as they're going to be here for three more years, I would wave and stretch Russ and eat the $15 million a year, because we're not going to be free agents and we won't have the free agency ability to do that at any rate. I sure wouldn't bring back the player to the team because he's been a cancer. Because if you think you're bringing him back, what you have to figure is it's probably a 50-50 bet that he will be such a bad influence in the locker room that you're going to have to send him home. You're going to have to accept that if you make a decision that you are really going to bring him back.
You're on mute, Joe, just to let you know. But I can't do the wave and stretch thing. I cannot do it under any circumstance, especially with only 1 year left on his contract and $47 million coming off the books. That is just, to me, just
well, absolutely. Even if I didn't wave and stretch him, you're going to, if crazy. you're risking sending him home, there's a point at which you will have to send that sucker home.
The only way you would have even gone that route where you have to stretch Westbrook is if you know for a fact you are a title contender and you're getting talent by stretching it. Just like the dang thing was just more of just the fact that we signed them for what we signed them for. I think that was always there. It was more of just but they did it because when they stretched his contract, they got Anthony Davis and LeBron was there, and they ended up winning a championship.
We were trying to sign free agency then. See, that killed us because we were trying to create cap space to sign free agents during that entire period because we were a rebuilding team. We're not a rebuilding team now. What I mean, with LeBron and AD, you're back into the whole situation of throwing away your entire roster and building from scratch brand new with no continuity, with no identity. It's a foolhardy thing to do. It's not the way you build in a championship dynasty. You build a dynasty by replacing key parts as you move along, not just two players, but like keeping five players, a core of five, then you rotate out the rest of the team. The truth of the matter is I'm the ultimate optimist, but man, it's 100-1 shot that we win a championship next year. It's a 2-year project at the best.
We screwed up in that we didn't value youth.
Nope.
We were upset that Kuzma wasn't the next Rashard Lewis. Let's just say that, because that's kind of the ceiling that I saw with him. We didn't value KCP. We didn't value Caruso. These guys are young. They're seasoned. They know their roles. Kuzma he's still young. He could still improve, you know? We didn't value that. And it really, really bit us in the rear end. This time it really...
Well, look at who we valued is the other... That's half of the problem. The other half of the problem is the people we valued. Andre Drummond?
See,
DeAndre Jordan?
And what they thought there...
Avery Bradley?
What they thought there was...
Dennis Schroeder?
They thought that Drummond would be... They had amnesia or something where they thought they were back in 2005, where they can get their legit five who likes to rebound. There's a problem, guys, and I don't know why they didn't see that. You see it all
they
the time every year.
2005, the way they do today, the rebounds are all over the court. Well, need physicality and athleticism.
Look at Rudy Gobert. Look at Bam Adebayo. You know, these guys don't. I mean, Adebayo is a better shooter than Gobert, but if you draw those guys out,
you can play them off the court.
You can play them off the court. It's the rebounding center is over. You have to have a stretch center who's got some ability to take some pain throughout the year.
And thank God we hired somebody who runs a system that demands a stretch center for a finally.
For who? But who?
After, you know, years of Byron Scott and anti-analytics, old school fools who still wanted low post centers.
It's gotten to the point where you're limited on the special talent. You're just, there's not, who's there? Who is out there that, well, and we didn't win a title.
Minimum salary.
We did not win a title. We did not win a title in 2020 with a stretch center. But what we had was a power forward slash center who was at that time the best big man in the game.
And the best, and had the best 3-point shooting stretch of his entire career.
Hit a game winner.
Yep.
Shooting that three.
Yep.
But I also want to make sure and mention that, as has been mentioned and whispered amongst the other team governors that are around the NBA, about how the Golden State Warriors on the verge of an NBA championship, who have spent more by far than anyone, and it's going well into the luxury tax. Next year, the odds-on favorite right now in Las Vegas, if they're healthy, will be the Los Angeles Clippers, who are also the number two team in spending and also will be well in the luxury tax. The Lakers have to see that as, do they have to spend more or do they have to go over the luxury tax? The thing is, they have to, whatever amount of money they spend, spend wisely, because two of the same teams in their division are going to be two of the best teams in the NBA next season.
Who's the second team?
You hope that they've learned the lesson from the Clippers. Criticism that they got.
Phoenix and the Clippers again? We have to hear about the Clippers?
You're going to have to clear the Clippers because of Las Vegas. I've already seen the lines, my friend. I've already seen that the Clippers are being considered the favorites with Kawhi and George and who they're signing up as far as it's concerned. They extended.
You throw Covington in there and bring back George and Kawhi, and this team is loaded.
The day those guys are relevant.
Norman Powell is also on the team. Day, remember, he's done well for them.
The day that the Clippers are relevant will be the first time ever. So until I see it, they mean nothing. Okay. There's always something.
We're a 3-1 lead. In a reality that has the Boston Celtics contending to win their 18th championship.
They're contending.
They're the damn playoffs.
They're contending because they stuck it out with their young guys. And, you know,
going to have to go through the Warriors for the next 5 years, and that's not an easy challenge. The best thing that happened to the Lakers was the demise of the Warriors. The Warriors are back, and they're going to be better next year.
And
Wiseman back. It's just ridiculous.
But you got to remember, Joe, that the controversy regarding the owner, Robert Sarver, in Phoenix might be elevated a little bit, especially after an employee left in regards to a situation there. Plus, DeAndre Ayton, his unsatisfactory attitude because of the fact he really didn't like the way he was being played in the playoffs by Monty Williams. That could be a situation. Plus, he also has a contract extension that's due, that he wants the full max. Not sure that, and I don't think that Phoenix really wants to give him the max. That's going to play out over the summer. That could be some turmoil right there. That could be something that, and of course, you know, with Chris Paul, could we start seeing some real declining returns after what we saw in the playoffs as well? Those are things to understand. But again, it's an if, but Las Vegas is, you know, really starting to lean on the Clippers as being a a favorite for next season with the lineup that they've got if they're healthy. I'm just telling you like it is. I know you say they're irrelevant, but I'm going to tell you right now, it is something that people and Lakers fans have to be aware of. And that's something that the Lakers are going to have to be aware of this season when they go out in the draft and they try and get a second round pick or picks, when they go out into free agency, and they also have to consider that as well.
We are going to have to wait here, hopefully, just one more day so that we could take a deep breath. The Clippers mean nothing to me, and I'm sure a real Laker fan shouldn't have that matter at all. The issue at this point, beyond the Lakers roster for next year, is the Celtics have to lose one of this next two games so that we can at least go into the future, the near future here, and not worry about needing two again to pass the Celtics. And I believe it's going to happen. I believe Golden State's, if we're talking about Byron Scott.
Game six or game seven.
They've manned up. Okay?
Six or seven.
They've manned up. And we all think a young team is going to be back. Oh, the Celtics are going to be back and because they're young. And yet last year, Milwaukee's probably going to win another one. Look, there are plenty of guys that I've watched in my time that only really made it to the finals once. Guys like Patrick Ewing, guys like Charles Barkley, Karl Malone and John Stockton only went to two. I think we have been so spoiled by the Michael Jordans and the Kobe and Shaqs and the Duncans and the collective of the Warriors, because their appeal, their greatness is not so much individually. Yeah, they're all. Well, I'm not gonna say Draymond. In my book, Draymond's not a Hall of Famer, but I have high standards for that. The only Hall of Famer from my standards right now is Steph Curry. Klay is gonna be a Hall of Famer. I love Klay, but he's not there yet. If I was voting. He will be there probably, but
what
not
about
now.
Draymond? I know that's
Draymond. I get it, but I have a high standard for the Hall of Fame. You have to be great. You have
I think Tatum will get in. Brown.
No, they're all going to get in, dude. Tracy McGrady and Grant Hill got in. Yeah. Okay, they played half their lives injured, so they're going to get in. Everybody's going to get in, but I have a higher standard. To me, what makes Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and in terms of basketball community, Draymond Green is, they are as unselfish as you can be, which is a very admirable trait. Klay could have easily said, look, I've won a couple championships. I want to be the man somewhere. You never heard anything like that from him. Steph Curry opened his arms to Durant, knowing that he was going to get a bunch of, well, did you win your titles with Durant? It didn't affect him. It affected Durant. I'm doing my Laker Tom look.
Yep. Right? I agree.
Okay. It bothered Durant because
he doesn't have the same attitude as the other three guys.
Because I have a good memory when it comes to this. Kevin Durant was like Jamal Wilkes till he went to Golden State. He was quiet. He was sweet, jump shot, money, star, amazing. And then all of a sudden he turned into this jerk because he was affected by the noise. He took the easy way out.
But
It wasn't his team. When in fact he was the guy that, you know, shot the threes that closed games.
But it's still Steph's team.
In the end,
he was playing at the time like the best player in the world.
And again, I'm not saying the Patricks and the Charleses and the Malones and Stocks aren't great. Those are great players, obviously. But I think we've been spoiled by the ones that do consistently return and keep coming back. And when one guy does it.
The guard is changing, man. I'm telling you, it's getting the young players. Everybody doesn't realize the Celtics. Why are they losing? It's their first time here. Look at who they're playing. Draymond, Steph and Klay been here before. They won championships before. You wonder why the Celtics are struggling? They've never been on a stage.
I've seen new players come in and win. We've sure. seen it before.
The time, just like the Bucks, the first time the Bucks were in the finals. It's hard, man.
It's hard.
Think about the Super Bowl. It's the same thing.
It's really hard in football.
You almost got to lose before you can win. It's part of the experience and understanding the game and its importance and
the
pressure that you have to deal with.
There used to be a consistent formula, and I think you're right in that there is a little bit of, like, this playoff run was one of the first years I can remember. Last year, you can say, yeah, a little bit, but I just felt like it was all injuries, and it just opened up for both teams. But this year, even though there were some injuries, it's one of the really few years that I remember. I'm like, I don't know who's going to win it this year. I don't know. Is it going to be Golden State?
You guys had it clearly set for Golden State. No, you guys seem to have gotten.
I thought it was Phoenix. I thought Phoenix was going to go.
I'm talking about your recent picks.
Golden State was the team you had to pick.
My recent picks are it's a biased pick. If they weren't playing the Celtics, I would have. I don't know who I would have picked. You never know. I mean, Steph Curry went 0-for-9 in this last game. I don't know. Is he going to show up tomorrow to make shots? Is he going to be?
Let's find out.
I've never seen Steph like he was yesterday. I mean, that was really odd.
Well, what are your thoughts on this?
It looked like Game 7 and 16. It looked exactly like that, and he's done that a few times.
Well, you know, the Dubs have been blown out of a couple of games. I mean, blown out by 30 points, and. You know, this is a better talk about the Lakers being careless with the ball and so forth. Both of these teams are both guilty of it. It's really like the points off a turnover determines who wins the game. Can the Warriors actually win in Boston on Thursday night? Tomorrow night.
They have, and I think they should.
And they should because you don't want, I know for a man, they don't want to go back to San Francisco. You don't want to be playing a game 7. Because in a game 7, anything can happen. I mean, look at the way these guys started. They missed the first 12 threes, the Greenies did, and then they hit 12 in a row.
Yeah.
They hit 8 in a row, just let you know.
Or 8 in a row. I mean,
they're streaky, and that's their MO.
But, you know, when it comes down to the clutch time of the game, a lot of it is the decision-making and the ability of the Warriors on defense to pack the paint and still contest the threes. Because what's happening is every time they drive the paint, Brown and almost everybody on that team, Smart, definitely Tatum, have trouble finishing underneath, have trouble passing the ball.
Wiggins is giving them problems.
And Wiggins is a problem, but also you'll notice that a lot of the time, what you're seeing is Peyton on the floor. And in that game, one of the reasons they won was Curry was not on the floor for a good portion of the time. The three guards, think of these three guards, these three players guarding you. You've got Payton and Klay Thompson and Wiggins.
That start of the fourth quarter set the tone.
Man, I mean,
that game.
Put them with Draymond. They've got such good players, such depth that they've really done. Man, I tell you, I'm rooting for the Warriors, of course, because I want to beat the Celtics. But I love the way these guys play.
I really don't
play more that way.
I don't actually. I think it the 3-point shot is
the egalitarian nature of the offense that it's not designed. It's designed for the open man to take.
I'm not a fan of the 3-point heavy basketball. It's not a pretty. It's not a pretty game to me. And Steph Curry's struggle sometimes is because people play much tighter as the playoffs go on, and it's going to be the degree of difficulty and the pressure of having to make those shots go up as well. It's just harder. It's harder for...
Well, and the Celtics have been challenging him on defense. I mean, they have really hunted him.
But they're running out of they're running out of a you know you could see that they've they're they're run out of gas.
They're the young team. They had 3 days off. Don't give me this run out of gas BS.
Hey,
come on, man.
I don't know what they're cardiovascular. They shouldn't be out of gas, but why are they tired in the third all the time? Why are they tired in the fourth? Except for game one, I don't know. Other than the fact that they run out of gas,
the coach is playing them without taking them out of the game.
You have to also factor in, Tom. It's like a boxer. Okay, a boxer might be in great physical shape, but you also have to factor in
the second championship fight. They learn a lot more.
Well, you have to understand that there's also a few other things that are happening. For example, the pressure takes a lot of energy from you. The fact that you're getting punched takes a lot of energy out of you. And then you're punching. So it's not just the fact that their lungs can handle it. It's a stress thing. When they were talking about...
And it's been building up series after series after series.
The longer this goes, the more the pressure. You know, Kevin Garnett said something about game seven in 2010 that put it perfectly. He goes, we could not move.
Well, look, we could not move. Experiences.
They were so tired. And you saw it from both teams. Kobe might have not been tired, but he wanted it so bad. His fists were too tight, right?
He was exhausted, and you could tell in that game. But still, of course, we all know what happened then. But no,
we all want it to end tomorrow night.
Yes, we all want it to end. So will it end tomorrow night? I'm saying yes, it'll end on the road.
So am I.
There you go.
I'm not going to say, I keep doing this because I want to be part of the team.
It's a 50-50. You're 50% right, man.
I'm gonna put my cards on the table. Look, I don't have a clue who's winning the series. Till right now, I have no idea. And I didn't know even before. I like the Celtics team. I like how they play. I like Udoka. I like how he is. He looks like a guy that...
They run... You know what? They're comparing the Warriors and them. Here's what I really hate. I hate ISO. They're an ISO offense. Their entire offense is isolation. Even Marcus Smart, it's isolation. It's drive to the basket and pitch out. Isolation basketball.
It's all their talent will allow them to do.
Watch the Warriors, the difference. Watch Curry when he's off of the ball. It's amazing. The guy, he will pass to another player to get a better shot off of his shot. It's an entirely different system that always has motion and movement, especially off the ball. And it's so much more pleasing to me as a player and former player and coach than any isolation-oriented basketball team, such as the Lakers were last year, and the Celtics certainly are this year.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans, looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Well, once again, it is the Lakers. We always talk about them, but on the verge of hopefully still staying tied with the Boston Celtics, hopefully the Golden State Warriors will get it done sooner rather than later.
Golden State is a title away from passing the Bulls for third all time.
Seven, is it seven, I think?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's still 10 more.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Well, listen, even if the Celtics don't win this year, they will have this experience, will make them the best team in the East next year.
The Celtics?
They're gonna have more chances to win number 18 in the next decade than the Lakers will.
I think they have a problem. I'll tell you what the problem is. Jason Tatum needs to go up another level. If he doesn't, it's likely
he's only 24 years old. At 28, he's got to be a different player.
He needs to get to another level for me to kind of buy into that. And then you have to also factor in, let's say, if Chris Middleton is healthy next year and you got a Giannis still in his prime, and if they add a couple players, they're going to be a problem. It's easy to say that they'll be back, but that's not true. And Miami's still good, and half their team was injured.
Miami still has the same problems that they had before. You know, everybody keeps talking about the Miami culture, and that's an admirable characteristic of the team, but they just don't have the horses to win a championship, in my opinion.
Look at us. Our minds are already wandering towards next season, and this season is yet not even finished. Yes, but we'll wait and see. Hopefully, Golden State Warriors will get it done to help keep the Boston Celtics at 17, tied with the Lakers on world championships. Yes, they'll be so scary, 10 championships behind the Lakers if they win. I'd rather have that than the All-Star.
I had a guy online who yapped. This is my favorite response. This is my favorite post. Once in a while, I'll hear the Lakers don't have 17, they have 12. You don't count the Minneapolis titles. I said, oh, yeah? How good are you with your history? Do you remember what happened to the Celtics and the Buffalo Braves in 1978? I hear silence after that every time. I love it. For those of you who don't know what that is, they switched teams. The Buffalo Braves and the Celtics switched teams. So if you guys want to play that game, then you guys only have 5 titles. Sorry. 5 Larry O'Briens. That's it. Not 17. So go home, put your whatever those shirts were with the "we play for 18" and you know, make sure that you
said "we play for 18" shirts.
Make sure that hopefully by tomorrow you'll be scribbling 2022 Eastern champions. And it'll be 17. What'd it be? 0.1? 17 and a half? You count it as a half? Zero, right? Yeah. So I love knowing what I know so that I can tell people what they don't know. That's the fun part about being knowledgeable in this thing.
And that's the fun part about being part of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Blasphemy Joe. Kenneth Stone is in the comments. Blasphemy Joe. If the Warriors win, so be it. The whole Western Conference wasn't healthy this year. Still, comments right there for you from Kenneth
What's
Stone.
What's blasphemy? That the Warriors will win?
Well, you got to root for Golden State. I'm sorry. If you're a Lakers fan, you are rooting for Golden State.
Yeah, you can't. I'm sorry. Whoever's out there, guys, it's simple. It's not. Even if it was the Clippers versus the Celtics, you have to cheer for the Clippers. We got a bigger thing here.
What an experience that would be.
Yeah, you
having
can't.
To cheer for the Clippers is very difficult.
I'm sorry, guys.
Maybe more difficult than the Celtics in some
there's
respects.
There's priorities here.
Not all respects, but in some respects.
There's priorities. Priority is we cannot afford to be two behind the Celtics. They're not one behind. They're two.
Two to leap over.
Yeah, that's what matters. I don't care about 17 right now. It's tied. I hate ties. I don't want to, I want 18. I want one ahead. That's when it matters. Right now, I'm a Steeler fan, and I can't stand that the Patriots have 6 titles. Also, I was Super Bowls, I should say. So, yeah.
Well, Kenneth, I want to get you on the show. We want to go ahead again. I will get you on the show. We'll do an interview so you can say why Joe's language against the Lakers is blasphemy. He's not. If you've been listening to the show, he's been actually very supportive of the team and what's coming up. They still have a lot of changes to make. Of course, there's the Russell Westbrook decision, which I know is very polarizing. I want to hear your thoughts. I know you're a big supporter of Westbrook, so I want to get you in on a conversation. Ooh. Russell Westbrook, yes.
Who's a supporter of Westbrook?
Kenneth Stone, remember he came on the show. He's in our chat right now. Again, I want to go ahead and get
supporter
you on.
Of what? What the hell is he? What the hell would you support
all
that
right,
for?
All right. That's another show indeed. But once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. Please go ahead and hit us up at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Please go ahead and subscribe. Thank you so much for our YouTube followers, your YouTube subscribers. You've been so gracious in your support. The comments are there. We truly appreciate it. Want to thank again Rafael Barlow for stopping by earlier this week on the program. Please go ahead and check it out today. A great conversation on the NBA draft. why he thinks Paulo Banchero should be the number one pick. And yes, to so many people out there, we did talk about Kai Soto. So please go ahead and hear our thoughts on Kai Soto on that particular program. Kenneth Stone, the last words. Oh my God, Joe resents. He does not resent the purple and gold. He's a purple and gold fan. True and true. Kenneth, with all due respect, I have to go ahead and say that he is a true Lakers fan indeed. No one would spend that much time on LakersBall.com. Plus also, as well, Laker Tom and LakerHolics.com.
The next These show, guys... you're going to see purple blood come out of here.
Okay.
And then on this side, gold.
Kenneth, Laker, no, please don't start it. Please
Laker gold, it. The Laker gold's from 99 to 2018, not that banana yellow that Nike started making that looks like garbage or puke. I'm talking Kobe staples starting in 99, 2000 gold right here.
All right. Okay,
I'm going to show you next show.
Okay.
Purple, well, gold.
Well, we're going to go ahead and see gold. If we can do that. We'll tape it on Sunday night.
I even put it on my work shirts.
There you go. All right. Hopefully we'll have an answer about the Golden State Warriors, whether or not they've won the championship and saved the Lakers fans from hearing about that from the Boston Celtics fans. But Kenneth. All right. Well, definitely come back on the show, Kenneth. I really want to get you on the air so you can share your thoughts on Russell Westbrook and so much more.
I can't wait for LeBron's tweet. I wait for it every day so I can read it.
I want to also give a big shout out to Inasal for going ahead and stopping by, a new listener and new watcher and new viewer on the program. Thank you so much for being in the chat room. And also as well, Antoinette, thank you so much. Nice seeing you pop up with your comments as well. Hopefully you'll return to us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. We cover the Lakers like no other. In fact, we hope you continue to go ahead and watch us. Hopefully the Golden State Warriors will win. You know, I'm sorry. I want the Lakers to be at 17. I want them to go ahead to 18, 19. But I don't want to hear from any Boston Celtics fans if the Boston Celtics win. So believe me, we're hoping and rooting for the Warriors for this weekend only. We'll see where it goes from there. But the summer, hopefully, is right around the corner. And the off season, the second season, is hopefully very much closer indeed. It is on the way. The NBA draft, free agency.
One week away.
Yep. Cannot wait. The fun really begins. I bet Joe wants the Wizards to win. What? Kenneth, come on. Now you're just trolling indeed. Once again, thank you so much for everybody, including Kenneth. Please come back on the show, Kenneth. We'd love to have you on. But please, everyone out there, if you have a question for us, at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter or Lakers Fast Break at Yahoo. Well, once again, we'll be back next week. We're looking to go ahead and tape our show on Facebook, on the Lakers Facebook channel on Sunday night. So hopefully we will see you then. Otherwise, we'll go ahead and drop it on Monday right here, wherever you get your podcasts, at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.